do is set up that equipment and listen. That's part of an education, too. Listen to the HF bands, get a feel for, you know, where you're allowed to go, who's on there, what they talk about. Maybe you'll hear your friends. What kind of equipment do you have that's getting dust, collecting dust?
Got stuff that's really got dust on him. The ASU FT-101, that's the bottom of the line. I got some stuff that's transistorized. I've got a senior moment here, so I'm not sure what it is. And I've also got a tuner that matches it. Not only will that one do high frequency, it'll also go up to 50 meters and do 2 meters also, all built in. So that's a nice set. It needs a little bit of work. So yeah, I'll probably get that one going, but if I get the general ticket, I'll definitely get my equipment repaired, you know, tuned up and whatever, and get that stuff running. And the next question is getting the proper antennas. 2 meters and 440, they're pretty easy. You could get a dual meter for them, but, you know, you're doing high frequency. Ah, you're talking about, you know, big lengths and vertical or horizontal, and that's a whole science in itself there.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised what you can get away with on HF. But, yeah, the 101, I have the 101.8. Use it for the early part of my HF career, and I love that radio. It drifted a little bit, but it put out a lot of power, and the audio was great on it. Everybody liked it. I just was listening to a guy recently who was on a 101E that he just refurbished, and it sounds great. In fact, I recorded it and sent it to him. I thought he might enjoy hearing himself on it. But I really enjoyed that radio. That was a lot of fun to use. Mine is now in need of some TLC to get it back on the air, but I just don't have the expertise to do it. Maybe after I retire, I'll try to find somebody that I can hire to bring it back to life. And then I'll put that out, you know, on the air as my vintage station. But that's a fun radio. I can't believe they used to use that in a mobile. That's a big, heavy radio. I guess when it snows out, it comes in handy. Over to you, Rock.
82 BOR. Stan, you don't have any type of old 11-meter vertical or anything like that? Because, you know, being a tech, you can get used to HF a little bit. 10 meters is on the downswing, but it does open up every once in a while. And as a tech, you're allowed to use 28.3 to 28.5.
I have an antenna on top. I've got a, what I can use for 10 meters here, I've got a Citizen Band type radar. It's an RCI 2970. It's got a few 2879 outputs in there, so she'll do about 150, 200 watts on the sideband side, and maybe 75 watts or 200 on the AM, FM side. The thing is with this, I can use this now, but, you know, it's that short little band you're talking about, from 28.3 to 28.5, something like that, and I've actually used it to speak to people on that, and the antenna I have is so broad-banded, that old Antron 99, one of the original ones, it worked quite well. I'm very happy with it.
Well, Stan, that's what I'm using is an Antron 99, because I live in somebody's house. I'm very lucky I can have that antenna up there. I do 10, 12, 15, 17 tunes sometimes. You know, I try 20, but it's not very efficient, but at least I've got something out there to work with, and I did a lot of it when I had my tech, you know, between 300 and 500, but it was fun. Then I finally got my general, and that makes it a little bit better. I'm a little antenna held back, but it's better than having nothing. Over to you, Charlie. 82 BOR.
1LU mobile. Yeah, I have an Antron 99, too, up on my roof. And it works well, very well on 10. I have that hooked up to my 857. Use it for repeaters and 10-meter sideband. Then I've got an off-center fed dipole, basically Carolina Wyndham, that I use for 40 through 6, mostly on 40. I love 40, like 82, and it'll tune up on 80, but it's not real efficient. I'm fortunate that I have a house and a pretty good sized yard, so I'm able to put up some decent antennas. This spring I'm going to something else, something to get me on 80 meters, maybe even 160. Real tempted. But anyway, yeah, it's a great hobby, and you'll really, really get the full use of it when you upgrade to general, and it's really not that tough. Just a matter of reading the book. What I did is I read the book like three or four times, and I used different color highlighters each time I read it. That way I knew where I was, where I left off. And, you know, just some of the questions and answers, you don't have to understand them. Just trying to memorize the answer. Some of the stuff, you know, especially the electrical principles and the math, all went over my head. And I just basically tried to memorize the answer. Back to you, Stan.
Yeah, general sounds a lot interesting. I'd like to get into some of those lower frequencies. The antenna I have up there now, the Antron 99, and it's one of the original ones. It's not the copy ones or anything. I'm surprised it's still working because it's got sort of aluminum coating on it, and it's, how can I say, flaked away over the years, but it still works very well. The only thing I've done was replace the coax with some real good buck 50 a foot coax. That's UV resistant and so forth. So that's been up there about, I'm going to say, about 3 years, and it's still cooking out. It's still, you know, sending it out pretty well. When I get my general, though, I'm going to try to, try to adapt things to make that antenna work. I'm sure it'll work on a few bands, but I might have to go to a tuner to get it working some of the others. But I'm really interested in doing that, and the other part is I want to get a mobile tri-bander, or maybe a two-bander, for VHF and UHF, and just put a separate antenna up there and use that. I mean, for crying out loud, a while back I wanted to do a repeater set up here on UHF, but finally finding the components and the programming materials and the duplexing stuff and trying to do something from scratch with Motorola equipment, it kind of got complicated, so I never followed through with that. But I think with what I have here, I have enough to make me very happy with the general ticket. And to ZNQ.
I'm getting gas. I'll be back in a minute.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, I thought, KD2BOR, I thought I heard a breaking station under you, Stan. That station trying to get in there, we're keying up a little quick. We got to leave a little pause between our keys. Breaking station, pick it up.
I thank you much. Good morning, Charles et al. It's Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Bravo Victor, East Village. Antron 99, I'm considering it. So how is everybody?
I'm okay here. This is Rocky over in Kearney. Over to you, Stan.
Still got a pulse here in East Yonkers.
And don't forget Charles, who has his cold coffee.
I'm going to warm up my coffee to make it hot coffee.
There you go. There you go. Just flipped the dial, and I heard all you guys talking about the Antron 99, and it's something I'm considering because of the tiny footprint, and the people who don't know what an antenna is, that's important. If it's just a pole, that's great. Something else I was considering was possibly a chameleon beyond, maybe both, if I can get them up there topside and the landlord doesn't notice.
Go for broke, go for that antenna. It's got about another 8 feet above the Antron.
Yeah, but I want to keep it visually unobtrusive. I don't want guy wires, I don't want radios all over the place. So I'm listening intently to what you say about the Antron. So I figure with an antenna tuner, you go down to 20, but not much more. Chameleon V1 might do some more. So, you know, it's all step by step. Nobody jumps into the hobby and plunks down $100,000 and has a fully functional everything set up in a month. It's all step by step. So I'll I guess I go from here. I pass it over to Carney. I think that's the more or less the round table order. Over.
82 BOR. Do we have a station trying to get in there? I heard somebody under the last gentleman. Not. All right. I'm looking something up on the internet right now. Let's see if Charlie's done getting his gas. N1LU, 82 BOR.
I'm back. N1LU mobile. Well, not bad. I still managed to fill it up just below half for under 20 bucks. Cost me 16. So, so far, so good. Let's hope it doesn't go up much higher. I'm not sure who's in here now, so I'll pass it back to Stan because I know he's in there. N1LU, guys, Stan.
N2ZNQ, I'm actually looking into a catalog here for, what is this, Universal Radio. I thought they had some of the antennas that were pretty much designed for what we want to do with high frequency. I just can't seem to find a page or if this is the right catalog. Give me about a minute.
A nice website, and they also have used equipment on their website, too.
Yeah, actually not on a website. I'm looking through, I don't know, catalogs, 2-3 years old. I did buy top-of-the-line coax from them, figuring if I'm going to get wire and go through the trouble of, you know, ratting it through here and here and everywhere, may as well get the best and not have to worry about that part for a while.
Yeah, well, one thing I've learned in this hobby is, especially for HF, you don't have to spend a lot of money on coax. Most of my HF stuff, especially the wire antennas, just for the sheer idea of the weight, I use RGE8 Mini, and it works fine. You know, you accept the losses. You know, unless you're into contesting and, you know, points count to you, that's more than adequate to make contact. I always do quite well with that stuff, and it's a lot lighter than the heavier duty stuff.
Suggestion, KD2CBB. Okay, I guess I have it. Check out a place called the RF Connection. Call them up and then they email you the quote. The quote's good for 30 days and they seem to have pretty much whatever coax you want, whatever kind of connectors you want, and their prices appear to be pretty good. Definitely better than Cable Express. So, just put that out there for you. Over.
There's a few places out there. The Wire Man, I used to use him. He's pretty good on prices. But, yeah, I don't think I have any of that high-priced cable. Maybe if I really got into VHF, I should, you know, get some of the LMR stuff. But these roads are still bad back here, and now everything's hard as a rock. Well, all the snow is glistening, because it melted a little bit the other day and then froze solid again. All right, let me pull into my spot. N1LU, go ahead, Stan.
What was that place you mentioned?
The Wire Man. The Wire Man.
Okay, appreciate it. I'm actually using Andrew's Hardline. And, of course, for the UHF, VHF. And I think it was about 300 or a little over 100 feet with connectors, gold, on each end. That was a pretty good price.
$300 for 100 feet?
No, it's something like 240 or 50, and then they put the connectors on the end.
Okay. Well, hardline's over $1 a foot. So that's expensive cable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They had the best price. It would have cost me about $350 or so, $375 from every other place I checked. I don't think I checked the Wire Man, but I'll look into that as well. So has anybody tried the Antron down to 20 with a tuner? That
82 BOR. Yeah, Todd, I've tried it. I can get it to tune on certain parts of the band. It's not very efficient, but it does work.
I had a buddy with an FT-101 doing some tricks with that, with an Antron, and with the tuner, of course, and this guy, like, loves to twist dials and everything else, and, you know, he got things tuned in pretty well. Not much of a loss.
Yeah, a couple of people have told me about the Chameleon Mon, which really is a mobile, but if you put it up on the roof, they don't have to worry about the ground plane. I don't know, and it'll cover more bands. To Charles, he said he wanted to work the lower band. Somebody mentioned he was looking into a Tar Heel, so we could do the 160 and 80 and put that up either on his house, side of his house, something like that. Oh, that might be another option for you. I have no idea. KD2.
Into ZNQ, the other option might be kind of like the Big Brother to like the Antrons or the Silicon 99s. They got the IMAX 2000 as it comes. It's good from 25 megahertz up to 29 megahertz. But the only thing you may have to do is, I guess maybe lower or keep the upper piece higher. To be able to get down to lower frequencies. Might miss some other frequencies a little bit, but if you want to go lower, that would be the case to be and do that.
The Tar Heel, that's really a mobile antenna. I mean, you can certainly use it at the house. I've seen guys set it up. Let me make sure I'm not doubling. I've seen guys set it up in their yard with radials. You know, guys that have restricted space or no trees. And, yeah, I'm sure it works good there, but if you get the bigger one, that'll do 80. It's a lot of money. About $400 or $500, give or take. No, I'm looking at something called the Cobra Ultra, Cobra antenna. That'll do 160 to 10. Or I'm looking for QSO King, which is an NFED antenna. That'll do 80 through 10. I definitely want to get on 80. Love to get on 160. But I just don't have the space for a full-size 160-meter dipole. So the Cobra antenna is advertised as being able to work on 160 just because of the way it's built. And I have room for that. That's 140 feet, I think. So it's a combination of those antennas I'm thinking about getting. Rock, over to you.
So basically, you're going to do sort of like a wire antenna?
Yeah, I don't have HF in the car. I used to, so I'm not too concerned with that. But yeah, I've got a house in Connecticut, and that's where I do my HFing most of the time. So yeah, I'm looking at a wire antenna.
Yeah, my friend who has the ASU-101s and, you know, a pile of other stuff, I mean, he's got to be drawing the 10,000 amps in his basement sometimes when he's doing things. But for the lower bands, he's actually hidden in those big bushes outside of his girlfriend's house. He's got a bush that runs the length of a long driveway. It's got to go 120 feet long. He's got a couple wires going into that thing. And believe me or not, they work. He's got it figured out perfect. I mean, you could barely see them and everything else. And he's only got one vertical in the back that's pretty high up. Then he painted it green to match in with whatever brush is out there. So he's got the best of both worlds there.
Certainly with a little ingenuity, you can make just about anything play. How far you'll get, you know, a lot of factors are involved in that. With the bush, I'm not sure how high it is, but they have low antennas. They call them NVIS, near vertical incident sky wave antennas. And you can do just about any band on those, and you get limited performance out of them, but it gets you on the air. With the Cobra, I should be able to get that up about 30 or 40 feet, and I think it'll work out quite nicely. So I've been kind of planning that in my head, and then I also want to put up a CX333 for the summer, so I can get 2 meters, 220 and 440, all on one antenna. Maybe that'll give me more space. some other stuff down. Anyway, guys, I got to run inside. I'm here at work. 73, have a great weekend. Rock, over to you. And Rocky, good luck with your procedure on Monday. Text me when you're not groggy and let me know how you made out. KD2, BOR, N1LU.
What procedure are you getting?
I'll give you a 146.
Let me see if I have it. KD2BOR. Yeah, Charlie, I'll be on Monday morning. I don't have to go in a quarter to seven, so when you're going to work, I'll be at the shop here, and that's not a problem. I'll be talking to you on Monday. And, guys, I'm going to cut out of here for a little bit, so I'm going to say 73, and Stan, the procedure I'm having is left side carotid artery cleaned out. 73, guys, Todd, 73. Have a good day. KD2BOR.
And a 146 to you in case I'm not here when you get back.
73's too. I've had a few auto leagues unclogged more than once, so they're a little bit deeper than what you're getting. Yours will be a piece of cake there, so all the best to you.
All right, thanks, Stan. I'll be on all weekend. Like I just told Charlie, I'll be on my regular midnight shift here with the crew, so I don't have to be in the hospital till quarter to seven in the morning for admitting. KD2BOR will be clear this time and listening.
Actually, N2Z and Q, the last time I was in a hospital, I had my daughter go home to bring my own radios out. She ended up being in the high frequency one out there, the high frequency, the UHF out there. And I managed to get a guy from the Bronx and a few people from Jersey, I guess, and right from my hospital room, you know, with stitches on my side and whatever over there. I'm talking from my hospital room like, you know, no tomorrow. And I had just got done with surgery. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, one more thing before I go, Stan. I had my THF-6. My girlfriend brought it to the hospital, but I was on the wrong side of the hospital to make this repeater, and it was very noisy in there. I could hear different repeaters, but I could trip this repeater, but I couldn't get into it. I was very noisy. All right, I got to get out of here this time. KD2BOR.
Best of luck. You'll be well.
You ever notice how when I show up, Stan, everybody leaves?
Well, I've got to change my battery now. It's been on for 2 days, and it's finally never seen so much use. The batteries used to go for a week or two.
KD2CBB. Yeah, it's my chronic halitosis. It chases everybody away and makes batteries die.
Ah, you can't blame it on that. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just sorry everybody left because it was a very interesting idea, and I actually called up Shakespeare. They make antennas. They make marine antennas. And they're resonant at about 10 or so. And so the theory is they'll operate from 3 on up to 29 or 30. They're resonant almost in the middle. And I was thinking, try one of those things, these other esoteric antenna things. No ground plane needed, and they said it would work.
I'll tell you, a lot of the decent manufacturing corporations that make antennas, there's incredible things you can do to modify them and stuff. I mean, I've worked with welders, I've worked with, I've got lengths of stainless steel, 440 stainless steel, different thicknesses and whatever. I will make an antenna to work. Might have to think about the coil on the bottom a little bit for the loads and so forth, but if you can figure out the winds and sort of like a capacitance type thing in here. I mean, you could make unbelievable things that they're going to work a lot better than what you can buy commercially.
If you can figure out the coil. I can't figure out nothing, remember?
Oh, yes, I remember. I can figure out the coil. That's not a big deal. I'm more interested in what the thickness of it should be. That's what, you know, I hem and haw with that, but I can make antennas that'll probably cover the entire 10-meter down through the 11-meter and probably down to 25. would give it maybe an SWR at the worst, maybe a 1.5, which is not bad.
That's not bad at all. That's probably better than the Antron. And with a tuner, you could probably go to 40.
Oh, definitely with a tuner going to 40. If the lengths are within what the tuner is designed for, you probably could do it. I mean, you might lose a couple of watts here and there, but it'll work fine.
So you string the wire and oil at the bottom. Could make some money.
Well, it almost looks like, not quite as thick as an Antron, but... I mean, I've seen wires. I've worked with my buddy. My buddy's a little better than me. He's better with the math, and he also knows how to fix tubes and how to, you know, what transistors do what. But long story short, we've made antennas. We'd use some PVC, okay, to sort of waterproof it, and would have a top section that we can raise or lower, almost like a fishing pole, you know, putting your ferrules in. And we had, oh, God, I don't know, we should have padded some of this shit because we could not see this sold anywhere, on any site anywhere. And these antennas worked beautifully. Low, low, low WSRs, and they had good propagation, vertical, going the other way. I mean, it just made everything happy.
KD2CBV, then, still working on it. What is NC? Dang it, I'll never get it. Well, at least I know Stan. Let me get my general first. Let me try to get like 100, 200 together. Wax. Then I gotta figure out what to put on it.
I always get good coax. I got the best coax I can get. A little bit thicker than the stuff I was getting. But it was probably almost close to $2 a foot. I ended up getting 100 feet, so that was a pretty big outlay. I didn't use the entire coax. I think I might have used 90 feet of it and still had 120 feet left over. Not knowing, you know, which way I was going to do exactly, you know, I had three or four ideas, but the coax was actually the most expensive item. As far as the base, I have a chimney over here. I have two or three of these strap things that go around a chimney, and I got butylene rubber to kind of cushion it. And I had the U-bolts that held the pipe. I had a 5-foot pipe that went up, and the antenna bolted onto the pipe. So I had a ground wire going down over the side, down the side of the house. And I had almost like a ground hammer, like a hammer for, you know, grounding into the ground. I have an 8-foot piece of copper going all the way down, and that's my ground spike. So the antenna's up there. It's been up there for, oh my God, I've been married for how many years? Well, would have been married. It's been almost 30 years. It's the original Antron 99. And it still works. I am so surprised.
You have Andrews half-inch hard line. And by the way, I have the same thing. 3 chimney strap, big chimney. You have Andrews hard line, right?
It was almost like the banding you'd put around a crate, something like that. But it was designed to stay put forever. And the only other thing I did was they had these little pieces of rubber to buff it. I got some professional butylene thick pieces that covered the entire cornerings where they banded onto the chimney. So, you know, I mean, my stuff is still up there after 30 years. It's weathered and everything. I did mine by the book. I had stuff from work. I had access to a lot of metallic things and rubber things. So I did more than a professional job, and it's still up there. The only thing is my antenna pitted. I mean, it pitted so bad it looked like somebody sandblasted it with large grits. But it still works.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the Antron's 60 bucks, so I'm considering that. But if I get the general, I'm going to be limited other things. It's a ways off. I can't afford to do it this year, but at least I can get the general. I can come up with, I don't know, say 100 of LMR 400, and maybe make a long wire in the internal with the coffee can RF choke.
That would work too. Some of my first antennas were like that, without a choke. What are you expecting? Do you already have your general license?
Well, you know my situation vision-wise, right?
Yes, I do. You and the gal.
I have the Gordon West book, which suits me fine. The problem is the physical act of reading it is very difficult. So, that's my big problem. And what I'm trying to find out now is if the program would work. Apparently, according to Gordon West himself, the only guy who can answer my question is Larry, and I can't get a hold of him. So I'm stuck, and I'm getting a little worried at this because they change it in July, and I want to get the thing done before July, you know?
I'd like to do that myself. I want to get the general ticket. I've been thinking about it. I read up the book. The next thing I know, I got to go to work for 3 days out of town, and, you know, always something going on. And now that I do have the time, but, you know, my mind's getting stupid. My mind's getting old. I got too many senior moments and hours. I'm not a book person anymore. I look at a book. I don't know even what I'm reading. I mean, I'm looking at words and you know, punctuation or whatever, but I have no idea what it is anymore. Even with glasses on, I still have a tough time retaining what I read. So I got to figure out a way to do this.
How do you do with audio?
Audio, I guess that would be a little bit better if they got an audio thing. Let's say if I had vision problems, I think the audio would be better, but I like to look at lines and distances and, you know, little equations here and there. I've got to have both the audio and the video basically tuned in for a person like me.
Okay, I do have a KV2CBB. I do have audio. I can burn and send you if you want. If I look up your call, mail it to that, I could do that. There's no visual with it. We have a computer program that might work for you. I don't know if I can change the contrast, so I don't know if that'll work. That's what I'm trying to find out from Larry. It's a conundrum.
But do you know what? I've got about a half a dozen Radio Shacks within 10 miles of me. I'm sure if I want to get some of those 259 connectors, the silver ones that go on the end of the wire, and also the ones that go into the back of the set. Those are some of the best connectors and are silver coated. I want to go buy out every last one they got. And there's certain little adapters and whatever for coax that I want to get to, and I might be able to pick up a Radio Shack book on a general. I used their book the last time to pass the technician test, and it worked out very well, so I think if I use the same type in general, I think I may have a good time doing that and get my general ticket.
I'm not so sure Shaq has the books in stock anymore, but yeah, give it a shot. Flip through the book before you buy it, though.
Oh yes, I gotta make sure it's up to date. But they had great books there, and I mean, they had great parts. I used to go there to get transistors, resistors, diodes, the other things with the coils. I can't think of a word for them, though, like RF chokes. And, I mean, God, they had, for the do-it-yourselfer, I heard that store's going Chapter 11, I believe, and man, that's going to kill me, because that's where I got my parts. There was another parts store somewhere on 46, I forget the name of them, but they had every little friggin' thing, yeah, from a little transistor to a large transformer that weighed 100 pounds, oh, they had it all, pots, any specific parts, any type of switches. I think it was called Nisticos or Listicos or something like that. They were my store to go to get the weird stuff. They were my store to go to get the weird stuff, and they were very reasonably priced. Back to you.
They're not really reasonably priced anymore, and the problem is, although they may have this stuff, the help doesn't know what it is, so kind of on your own, combing through this blood. A lot of it's available online now. Did you see Mouse or Upper Place Radio Shacks online? They're even on eBay for crying out loud, with better prices than they have in the store.
As long as it's new and you're getting it from eBay, that would be okay, but some of the stuff they have is questionable. I had a pair of bad 2HC2879s. They're basically output transistors for the final output, and the two of them will give you, I guess from maybe 6, 7, 8 watts output, they'll give you about 140, 150 watts, and you probably peak on sideband at about 300. Well, I had a bad transistor. It fried on me, and it shouldn't have, but you take a chance, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I mean literally Radio Shack is on eBay. And the funny thing is, I don't know, I bought some flipping adapters, and they're from Radio Shack, and I'm like, okay, and they were, whatever they were, $2.99 each for tripping. Radio Shack, I think, wanted $4.99. If you call them up to order it, they wanted to charge you $7 shipping. But when you get the package from eBay, it's literally from Radio Shack for trip dollar less or $2 less, whatever it was. I didn't understand that, so go figure.
I'm very surprised. I got a Radio Shack 2 minutes by car from my house. They might have a couple of things that might be used as CB radio, but nothing really for, you know, something like for 2 meters or for high frequency. There's a Radio Shack further up. Two of them on Central Avenue, which is Route 100. It goes through Yonkers, through Scarsdale, through Hartsdale, and into White Plains. Well, the one that's in Hartsdale and the one in White Plains, they've got boxes and drawers, you name it, they got it. I mean, they got output transistors for their walkie-talkies and for their 2-meter mobile units and whatever. I mean, it's incredible what you can find in there. You know, most people don't buy that, but, you know, you get a friggin' hobby head like me go in there. You know, I go in there to buy something. Oh, I got to buy 5 of these because you never know when you're going to need these. You know, I go in there and I clean them out. I go there for specific items and I end up cleaning them out because I'm afraid of, you know, not being, getting them available somewhere else. But I would say start going to Radio Shack now and getting what you can. And to Z and Q.
Yeah, there were lots of stores in New York City that had all this stuff, and I used to go in there. And those days are gone. They're all gone. But, no, I know what you mean. I used to do the same thing. And I learned from my father. Get cigar boxes whenever you can, and I think you know why.
Oh, absolutely. I've got some cigar boxes. I've got some big cigar boxes that are full of new old stock tubes. I've got even bigger boxes that are full of bigger old stock tubes, and then I have some with diodes in them, anything for the receiving, and then I got the power diodes and whatnot, and the full wave rectifier type things, capacitors, except a lot of the capacitors are getting old. I'm sure if I put them in circuit, they'd probably leak, so, yeah, you know, the newer electrolytes are better, and you never know when you got transistors to go. So I've got a pretty good supply, but unfortunately I've been using a lot from there too without replenishing it. So, you know, I get lucky once in a while and I repair or I build something. So I need to get more of these little things.
Affirmative. Did you keep Mouser. There's places out there you can get them. Got them. I got to figure out, like I said, well, one day you'll call me and we'll figure out how to make a holder for the HTX202. And for a dump. Thank you for deciphering my emails. I'm sure you guys took a couple of Excedrins after that. Oh, before I get to that, do you know where the de Havilland houses are in Yonkers?
The Havilland houses? It rings a bell, but it does not ring the street address.
Maybe it's de Haven?
Oh, there's a de Haven Drive, which is off of North Broadway, right near the hospital where my mom is at right now.
Okay, yeah, there, I think there were condos or something. Yeah, condos, de Haven, right? Okay, I just got confirmation. Yeah. Okay, I knew somebody was up there.
Street, maybe a quarter of a mile circle. You've got garden apartment type things are on the outside, and you got a taller structure in the middle. The one in the middle has a pool and the tennis courts and everything else in there, and it's a nice place.
Yep. Oh. Okay, I was just wondering. Okay, so did you get my latest email, and how many Excedrins did you have to take after trying to decipher it?
Actually, I didn't take any Excedrins. I might have taken an OxyContin or something. Just kidding. Nah, you write the way I do, except I look back at what I write, and then I fix my mistakes. That's why my writing looks good, because it originally looks like yours, if not worse, but then I come back and I redo my typos, and this way everybody can understand me.
Okay, so did you understand what I said?
Absolutely, every word, even the ones that seem backwards. I got everything on them.
Okay, cool. Okay. So did you get the one about the radio?
Yes, yeah, and you gave me a couple of sites there to look over. By the way, those are some nice doggies you got, too.
I only have one, the white one. Can barely go upstairs now. We're taken. Out to the bridge. It's about 2.5 miles over the bridge. Maybe. It's about 4 miles, I guess, 4.5 miles to get to the promenade where those pictures were. And the three of us would just go, boom, and take off, you know? So we used to tool around, all three of us. Now it's just Hanley and me. Remy's still alive. He's just a few blocks away.
And where was those pictures actually taken? Because it looks very familiar.
Let's see, what did I send you? Okay, the one of Hanley alone, that was out by a swimming pool out on Long Island. The two of them, that was by the promenade. And then there's the three of us. Sorry, I showed up in it. With the Brooklyn Bridge in the background and Manhattan off to the left, that's the promenade in Brooklyn.
Okay, I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, like I said, it's about a 4.5 mile walk.
Yeah, being as I kind of like you guys and I like the club, I belonged to a club 15 years ago over here in Yonkers, the YARK, the Yonkers Amateur Radio Club. And most of the guys are maybe 20 years my senior. A lot of them have died off in the last 5 years. And it was very, tacky or nose up in the air type things. You know, everything was at a specific type of a radio or whatever. But we seem to manage to talk about not just radios but other things. You know, everything under the sun, you know. And this is what I like.
Well, if you look at those links. The one from Hans, guy in the Netherlands. Don't worry, his English is perfect. He doesn't even type as bad as I do. When you click on that link, he mentions the $12 module. You might want to look at that. You can make your own VHF, UHF, I think it's maybe 1 watt transmitter, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but I've got a bunch of things like that already. I've got about, I'm going to give you an estimate. I've probably got about 4 dozen HTs right now. Some of them are cheap. They're, these Cobra, are they Cobra? No, they're Midlands. They're Midlands, and they're supposed to go for 35 miles, but you're lucky to get 3 to 5 out of them. They're the Family and General Mobile Service. I have, professional air radios made by Vertex Standard over here. I've got professional marine radios that will also do our amateur frequencies here and basically anything above and below them. And I've got a variety of radios I've inherited from old police departments and stuff. I haven't even known what they could do. And I've got about 2 dozen Motorolas. I got about 10 of what I'm talking on now, the HT-1250s, because I love them. And I also have the larger, more sophisticated ones, the XTS series, the 2500 and the XTS-3000. Now, they decipher these things that you hear with the police, but your scanner can't pick them up. Well, these radios can pick them up. And the funny thing is, I can talk over their systems too, which I shouldn't, but I know I could. I like to have, you know, radios that can do it all.
KD2, no. It's not the radio that does it all. It's Stan, the man, that does it all.
And the thing is, most of these radios, they came from Hong Kong or somewhere out there. And they say, well, the radio turns on, but you don't get this, you don't get that, you got the knobs are off, or, you know, the battery doesn't come with it, no antenna, and you end up buying, you know, this and that and the other thing, you run some tests on it, and I got some diagnostic tools so I can make sure they stay in frequency and whatnot, and next thing I know, I go, wow, I got a radio for about 1/10 of the price that Motorola sells them for. And they actually program up, and the hand programmable ones, they actually work too. You can program it right on the panel. And most Motorolas will not do that, except for like the FBI and stuff like that. Their radios too. So I'm pretty accomplished with what I have over here. I can basically listen to anything I can on these radios, and I can also talk back. I can also talk back to anything I can hear on these radios.
Like I said, you're the man. But yeah, if you get the B5 and you throw a diamond antenna on it, you'll be very, very pleased with the moments and all the battery life. The one that I pointed you to, for what, 36, 37 bucks? Oh, come on, really. Other people are looking at, like, the link of the one you sent me, the UVF9, and it's glitzy. It looks nice. And I have one sitting here, IVAC, that somebody went ahead and they killed it. So I have no idea if you're anything going to hold down the monitor button. Just open the squelch. You know, it's not mine, by the way. It looks nicer and all. I get it. But if you're going for performance, pick up a B5 or a B6 if you want a flashlight and whatnot. I prefer the two knobs. I need a flashlight. If I want a flashlight, I'll carry one.
Yeah, I prefer two knobs than a knob and a flashlight myself. Well, usually when I get radios like this, I'll either buy 3 or 4. I've got 2 daughters that know how to use radios, and I go to an out-of-band, you know, to some of a free band area or the family frequency, whatever you got, and we can communicate like that. And if they ever get their tickets, they can you know, do what you guys are doing. And for that price, it's always good to have a spare. So I'd probably end up buying four of them and, you know, better antennas and better batteries. You know, get batteries that have maybe 3,000 or so milliampage hours and so forth. So I got to do a little research on it, but I have to get one good one. I want to get a tri-bander that has a wide receive on it, as you have, and it's going to be opened up for you know, for all other purposes too. So, okay, back to you, N2ZNQ.
KD2CBB. I would recommend a Kenwood THF6A portable if you're a THF6. I happen to like that one. Want to spend more money? You can get an ICOM. I think it's a 92 Delta 9 or 2. That'll also give you teach, by the way, and it's reversible. They're basically similar radios, except the ICOM is dual band, whereas the Kenwood is tri-band. Go for the Kenwood, you have to get the tri-band $50 aftermarket from Simon Money Antenna. I think it's SRH, I'm not sure. It's definitely worth it. Want the tri-band with the wide receive Kenwood, because you also have 220.
Yeah, I'm looking at, what catalog is this? Universal Radio. It's not a recent one, but looking at the Kenwood, the TH-F6A, and it transmits in the 144, 200, and 440 megahertz amateur bands and has a dual channel receive capability. Enjoy 5 watts out with the supplied, the 2000 mAh battery, a lithium, which is good, or external 13.8 volt, low power setting, half a watt. It's got an extra low one of half a watt. Special B-band has reception from 100 kilohertz to 1300 megahertz, less the cellular things they used to use. And it picks up FM, AM, cold wave, single sideband, and cold wave, and sideband on HF. Built into mil-spec and blah, 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 blah. And it looks like a... like the radio that can do it all.
It's reasonable. I mean, if you want to plug a long wire into it, you'll get decent results. Want the manual for it?
I've actually seen the manual because I was going to buy this 2 years ago, but I wanted to open up a cap at Mars, basically have it opened up. And the ones I was looking at, you know, I don't have the ability myself, and I don't have the instructions for doing the opening ups of it. And one day someone was selling this on eBay, brand new unit. He had the leather cases, different antennas, different batteries, totally opened up a radio. And by the time I was back late that night, by the time I went to put my bid in, and this guy got it for about $100 less than what I would have paid for it. I would have given $100 more to get it. I was very sad and disappointed.
How much did it sell for?
I think it finally sold for about $390, but it had a lot of extras. The radio looked like it was just brand new, and all the mods that you can possibly do to it have been done. And that's what, I couldn't sleep that night.
Okay, I'll check out Gigaparts, I-A-R-P-S. They might have the modifications of it. I don't know what they charge, though.
Yeah, that's the main thing. But this is all done. With my soldering capabilities now, I can easily make a mistake and do more damage. I gotta wear really good, like, 3-power reading glasses, have a lot of lights and something to hold the board that I'm working on. Because my hands, they're not as steady as they used to be. But I'd prefer one that was, I'd tell you the truth, if I went to eBay right now and did a search, I'd probably find the one I like. I'd have all the improvements of the other one. But it's something to get a start on.
How do you like that radio? I mean, for regular use.
I look at it this way, KD2CBV. It's my number one handy. It has its own separate go bag. The others, they have their purposes, and they all go into a collective go bag.
Okay, yeah, that one's your baby, and I could understand why. Well, I've got all these Motorolas, but they're a pain in the neck because you need a computer and a special cable to program them. I only have one Motorola, which is the federal model, but it's in UHF. That does, about 400 to 500 channels, and it does all the codes. It does the AP25 units. It does all their codes. It has the encryption devices built in and everything else, so it's an amazing radio.
Well, if you're happy with it, you know, and if you ever want to see the F6A, let me know. I could drag it along sometime. Not a big deal.
As a matter of fact, I've seen these every now and then on eBay. My next step is getting my computer on and looking through an eBay and doing a search on this. A lot of these are sold with extra accoutrements and also with every modification you can do to them. So I think I'm going to have that as my next one, and my backup ones are going to be the Bang Fung, whatever, Wung Wung radios out there.
Okay, one thing to bear in mind, if you get the larger battery, then the makes larger capacity, it makes the radio larger. So, I'm not sure what the larger capacity is about on V5. I've never seen it, but it makes the whole radio bigger and, heavier too, I should point out. And I find the battery life is on the Malfunk is fine. Not that big a deal for me. The Kenwood, I have another battery in the go bag. And if I rag chew, I'm looking at about, say, 4 to 6 before I have to replace them. So I don't know if the larger capacity for the space would be 2 of the regular type batteries, if you follow what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I follow what you're saying. Recently I bought batteries for my Motorolas, and I'm looking for higher capacity batteries. Now the stock ones that come were anywhere from 1200 to maybe 1500 or something like that. I got lucky and I got a few off-brand lithium irons. I ended up getting 4 of them, and they hold 2600 mha, okay, which is more than double of what the stock battery does, so I ended up buying 4 of them. Got quite a few of these handhelds, although I do have the pretty decent nickel metal hard drives and so forth. That still worked, but I just, in case I wanted to go out on a weekend or whatever, and I didn't have access to the charger, those are the batteries. They would last the entire weekend without a problem. So, I've got a few of those also for the, I got a few of those also for the specialized Motorolas for the 25 series, for the digital ones. So I'm good to go pretty much anywhere. Yeah, well,
how long the battery is due. I think you'll be happy with it. I mean, you don't have to worry about
it. Oh, yeah. I think that Kenwood is going to be as old. Got an Icon, an IC-T90A, an IC-T70A. The T90A looks like it'll do more. It's 6 meters, 2 meters, and 440, but I don't really got too much of an interest at 6 meters, and it'll do you know, open broadcast also.
Well, 6 meter is, I don't know, they call it the map.